Cochran Show. Yes, the Henry Morgan Show with Arnold Stang, Art Carney, Minerva Pius, Betty Gard, Ethel Owen, Charles Irving, Ian Martin, Jack Albertson, Maurice Gosfield, Milton Kadams in the orchestra, the Billy Williams Quartet, and me, Ed Hurley. Here's the star of the Henry Morgan Show, standing on his favorite corner in front of the cigar store.
Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan.
Yes, where were we here? Up to about this end. You know about fads. Anybody here play canasta? No, huh? It's new. Probably you're too old. You remember way back, it was long ago, people used to, they danced the Big Apple and they played Knock Knock. Who's there? I suppose you don't remember. They used to sing Yes, We Have No Bananas. They used to vote for Republicans. Nobody does those things anymore. That was years ago. But it's canasta now, and it's, you know, canasta is a very simple game. Phil explained to me last night. 10 minutes. Got the whole thing. Let's see. I can explain to you. You could go out of here and the game is played with two decks and four jokers. That's 108 cards. This is a very simple thing. Six people play. Well, two play and four shuffle. Now, this is very simple. 10 minutes. I got the whole thing. A joker counts 50. An ace is 20. Cards above 7 are 10. Cards below 7 are 5. As you see, there are 6 cards above 7. And the rest are below 7. And the... except the 7. You don't want to... all the deuces and jokers are wild. And they can be added to your natural cards. If you have 4 natural cards or more, but not more than 7. 8. No, wait a minute. It's 6. 5. The natural... take the red and black 3s. Now, there's a... red 3s count 100. You gotta... this is very popular and it's simple. A red 3s count 100 unless your opponent goes out before you have a milled. In which case, you lose 100, depending on where you're sitting. Or standing. A lot of people play up, in which, leave out the two. The two locks the deck. You understand? Is this two? No. The two locks the deck unless you have a natural pair or 3 or 4 or more in love land for me and my gal. The main thing, if you have a meld or a canasta, and you're down 200 plus the red and black 3s, which represent little canasta, plus the aces or jokers, which aren't important, you say, this is the game, really, it's very, you say, may I go out, partner? And if your partner says yes, put on your hat and coat and don't come back. Oh, excuse me, here comes my friend Gerard. Hello, Gerard.
Hiya. Say, Hank, you know where I was today?
No.
Our old school, P.S. number 4.
No kidding, that's where you were? Good old P.S. number 4. Boy, what fun we had.
Yeah.
P.S. 4. That little old schoolyard and the wooden fences.
Yeah.
The paper flowers pasted on the windows.
Yeah. What a dump.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember Miss Wilberforce? She taught the sixth grade.
Oh, sure, Miss Wilberforce, sure. Good old Four Eyes. She was nice.
Yeah. I was her pet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She hated me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hated her worse.
Did you really? Why?
Why? Why? She was my teacher. Did I have to have a reason?
But she was nice. You remember the way she looked behind your ears every morning, and if they weren't clean, she'd slap your hand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gee, how I hated her.
I liked her.
And she liked me?
Yeah. You were the cleanest kid in the class.
Sure. I remember I always wore a white shirt and a blue tie, and my shoes were always shine.
Yeah. I hated you, too.
Well, she was a good teacher.
Yeah, I could only remember one thing I learned in that class.
What?
When you're taking a test, always sit behind a kid with low shoulders.
That's not all. You learned plenty.
For instance.
Well, for instance, what shape is the world?
Round.
How do you know?
Or in a square. I don't want to start an argument.
Why? It's round, and you know it. Because Miss Wilberforce taught us that. I remember the poem she used to recite. When Columbus sailed abroad, he found the sea is wide and the earth is round.
Big poem.
All right, but you must admit you learned the earth is round from Miss Wilberforce.
Heck, if she hadn't taught it to me, I would have picked it up from the kids in the street.
Well, I sure like Miss Wilberforce.
Yeah. Heck, when I passed the school, I dropped in to see her.
They did? You ask about me?
Yeah, she listens to your program every week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know something, Hank?
What?
Now she hates you, too.
Well, see you around, Gerard.
Yeah, likewise.
Well, if I don't want to stay after school, guess I better get over to the studio. Hey, taxi! Hey, taxi! Taxi! Good evening, anybody. At this time, we bring you our Man of the Week, chosen from the sports world. Our choice tonight for the outstanding man in his field is that celebrated auto racer, Grease Pit Carney. And here he is now, Grease Pit Carney. Grease Pit, I understand that you're getting ready for the Decoration Day Classic at Indianapolis Speedway.
It's on this morning.
What did you say?
That's right, Mr. Morgan.
Grease Pit, this car that you drive, this car, isn't it a supercharged, oscillated, stud nut, trunnionized, iso-octane simplex special?
Well, not exactly.
Oh, what is it?
It's a hopped-up Chevy.
Oh. Grease Pit, during a race... Now, during a race, you wear a crash helmet and goggles, don't you?
Oh, no.
You don't?
You have to wear pants, too.
True, true. Grease Pit, I saw the newsreel pictures of your last race. They've gone very fast. Which one were you?
Well, you know, when they come around...
Yeah?
I was the second.
Didn't recognize you in the original. Now, Grease Pit, let's get a few details about your background. What?
That's the way it sounds when I come around.
I see. Well, Grease Pit, that sounds dangerous. Does your girlfriend approve?
Well, I don't keep a girl very long.
Because of the danger of your occupation.
No, because I smell from gasoline.
You know, you can laugh, but I meant to ask you about that.
It's gasoline.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us about any narrow escape you've had?
Once I skidded.
Skidded, huh? You skidded while you were racing along doing well over 100 on a wet track.
No, coming out of the garage, I stepped on an oily mechanic.
Huh?
I cracked my goggles.
Yeah, that's nice. Grease Pit, do you have any plans for this next race?
His name was Arthur.
What?
The mechanic I stepped on. Roger shouldn't leave mechanics lying around a floor like that. A guy could get serious and injured. He took a flop on a concrete. I knew a guy busted his collarbone on a concrete and he took a flop.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Racing ain't very dangerous.
What'd you say?
Racing ain't very dangerous.
No, it isn't. Thank you very much.
It's them wet mechanics. They can kill you.
Thank you, Grease Pit Carney, for being here tonight. No,
No four fellas can have more fun remembering the piano roll blues than the Billy Williams Quartet.
I wonder who's playing that.
I don't know. It sounds like the Count.
It's real good, too.
Dancing on the pedal, making sweet harmony.
And when you hear that rinkety-plink,
a rinkety-plink,
we put a closer to see. And while we kiss away our cares, the piano a-playing for as a matter.
Thank you, Billy Williams and friends. I maybe I'm wrong, but I often read the comics in newspapers and magazines. And they're all right, but the ones I like the best aren't the ordinary comics. I like the advertising comics. You know, it's usually at the bottom of the funny paper in the colored stuff. The ones about the girl who wins a big movie star contest because she installs an automatic stoker in her cellar. Or the comic about the test pilot who sets a new record and marries the boss's daughter and is elected governor because he uses Flangwisser, the toothpaste that's kind to your toothbrush. They're not only good stories, but they're very educational. So we thought we'd present some of them now.
Her best friend wouldn't tell her because her best friend had it too.
Now, in the first box in the comic strip, there's a picture of two girls. And the first girl says,
"Hello, Alice."
And the second girl replies,
"Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo."
Next box.
"Alice, you are crying. Is it done?"
"Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, yes."
"What is the matter, Alice?"
"John does not love me anymore."
"Why?"
"He claims I have wild, unruly hair."
Next box.
"How can I win John back?"
"Alice, dear, why don't you see your druggist?"
"John is my druggist."
"Oh. Then why don't you see your husband? Perhaps he can tell you what to do."
In the next box, Alice speaks to her husband.
"Hello, dear."
"Oh, hello, Bushhead."
Next box.
"Oh, William, all my friends and associates are shunning me, and I have become unpopular in my social set. Can you perhaps tell me what to do?"
"Yes. You have wild, unruly hair that shoots off in all directions and creates a very unfortunate impression."
"What do you suggest?"
"Why don't you comb it?"
"Oh, William, my husband, I never thought of that."
Next box.
"And remember, when you comb your hair, use a Dr. Crowveny double-strength hair comb."
"Oh, isn't that the hair comb that's made from genuine elephant tusks and is curved to reach that hard-to-get-at back hair?" giving you a scalp that great to be alive feeling, and comes in various pastel shades to match your eyes.
Yes.
Oh, William, I will buy Dr. Crowney's hair comb tomorrow.
Here's the final box of the comic strip. Alice is now at a party surrounded by a crowd of admiring friends. She looks beautiful. Not only is her hair gorgeous, but since using Dr. Crowney's hair comb, Alice has become slimmer and several inches taller. She is smiling happily at her friends, and they're saying...
Oh, Alice, how beautiful you look.
You are the most popular girl in our social set.
Yeah, that is why we voted for you unanimously to be president of our group of the wealthiest young people in town.
Alice, in your moment of triumph, I wonder what you are thinking.
He wonders what she is thinking, but she does not answer out loud. But out of her head comes a little wiggly balloon in which it says... Now, in the next cartoon, we see a typical family group. This is a family, a mother and a father and a young boy. The mother and father are talking while their son is sitting on the floor licking the leg of a table. The mother speaks.
Oh, Father, I am worried about Junior. He seems to lack energy.
What makes you think that?
Well, he is 15 years old and still does not dress himself.
Next box.
Perhaps he is suffering from phlamatosis, the medical name for stupidity.
Next box.
What he needs is that new vitamin-packed cereal, Zip.
Yes. Zip, that gooder-than-good atomic energy breakfast food that fills your muscles, fills your lungs, expands your chest, and pops your eyes.
Right. Next box. Mother is feeding a spoonful of Zip to her son.
Here, Junior, how do you feel now?
Hey, yow, Mommy. I feel like a new lad.
Next box.
Junior, it is nice to see you happy and full of vim, thanks to Zip, the Wonder Cereal.
Yes, Father. I am chock full of strength, and I can feel my chest expanding. Now I am going to get the job I have always wanted, star pitcher for the New York Yankees.
Final box. Junior is wearing his Yankee baseball uniform and is talking to his parents.
Oh, Father, I just pitched the World Series championship baseball game for the New York Yankees.
That's nice. Did you eat a heaping plate full of Zippy Zip before the game?
Yes, Father.
Good. Did you win?
No, Father.
Why not?
In the middle of the game, my chest burst.
Down in Mexico, if the Roseland Ballroom's crowded, you borrow somebody's hat and you do the Mexican hat dance. And if you've forgotten the way the music goes, Bernie Green has written it down, and Milton Kadams is going to play it. So if you didn't care for your wife's Easter bonnet, here's your chance. The Mexican Hat Dance.
Thank you. Pedro, you know something? I think I go to the movies and kill myself a couple hours.
Can I be over here?
Okay, thank you. One of the most popular programs on the air today is, it's an old one, but it's still popular. It's a quiz show conducted by a Dr. Ick. Based, I think that's the way you pronounce it. It's spelled I-Q in the newspapers. Anyway, for those of you who may have missed it lately, maybe it's something like this. Would you introduce me, Ed?
Oh, gladly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Tartar's Pure Tar Gum now bring you your favorite quiz program. Yes, Tartar's gum is made from pure tar. Chew a pack today and see if you, too, don't have a breath like Highway 66. And now, here is your genial quizmaster, Dr. I.J. the Mental Fox.
Thank you. May I introduce my assistants, Mr. Jonathan Stanton in the left orchestra.
Thank you, Doctor.
Mr. Walt Jordan in the right orchestra.
Thank you, Doctor.
Mr. Daniel Trumbull in the rear orchestra. Mr. Daniel Trumbull in the rear orchestra. Mr. Trumbull, you should be in the orchestra.
I know, but a lady has me in the balcony, Doctor.
In that case, I will leave you alone.
Thank you, Doctor.
Enjoy. Now may we have our first contestant, Mr. Jonathan Stanton, in the left orchestra.
I have a gentleman, Doctor.
$20 to that gentleman if he can tell me, what do you get when you cross plums and peaches?
You get nectarines.
Oh, I'm sorry. But if you cross plums and peaches, you get pleaches. But give that gentleman a box of Tartar's Tar Gum now, Mr. Walter Jordan, in the right orchestra.
I'm a gentleman, Doctor.
$40 to that gentleman if he can answer this musical question. In the second movement of Beethoven's Sonata in A minor for piano and viola, what is the first note on the third page?
Would you repeat that question?
No.
Well, could you at least give me a hint?
Yes. His first name is Ludwig.
Can you give me another hint?
Very well. When you're at the seashore, what is it you see?
The first note on the third page is C.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I think you'll find that the first note is F sharp.
You kept saying seashore.
That's right. That was a hint for you to go to the seashore. You look pale. What about your father coming to that young man? Mr. Stanton in the left orchestra.
I have a lady, Doctor.
$18 to that lady if she can tell me what Juliet said to Romeo from the balcony.
She said, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I asked you to tell me what she said from the balcony. You said it from the orchestra.
And say it.
No, you've already said it.
Well, I just thought of something else to say. I can say this right to your face.
You stop that woman's mouth with $18 silver about the Tartar's gum. Next contestant, Mr. Jordan in the right orchestra.
I have a gentleman, Doctor.
$12 silver to that gentleman if he can answer this question. What two presidents had the same name?
Roosevelt.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I asked you for two presidents and you gave me only one.
Well, I mean Theodore and Franklin.
Oh, I'm sorry, but Theodore and Franklin are not the same name. But a box of delicious powdered tar gum to that gentleman. And you folks, try Tartar's bubble gum, too. Chew it and swallow it. The bubble forms in your stomach. There's no danger of it bursting in your face. Here we have another contestant, Mr. Trumbull.
I have a lady who wants another lady in the balcony, Doctor.
I'll send up Mr. Stanton. Next, please. Mr. Jordan.
I have a lady, Doctor.
$38 silver to that lady if she can answer this question. Now be on your toes for this one. What is the capital of New York?
Albany.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I was watching you. You were not on your toes, but a box of...
I have a gentleman, Doctor.
You have a gentleman, very good. $32 silver to that gentleman if he can give me the last line to this famous poem. No coaching, please. Ready? Here's the poem. Wenn ich in deinen Augen sehe, so schwindet all mein Leiden weg. Doch wenn ich küsse deinen Mund, blank, 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 blank. What is the last line? No coaching, if you please.
Well, this is just a guess, but is it, so werde ich ganz und gar gesund?
Well.
How did you know that poem?
My grandmother told me.
I'm sorry, I said no coaching, not even your grandmother. What about this? Come to that gentleman. Mr. Jordan?
I am a gentleman, doctor.
Here is our regular feature, the tongue twister. 80 silver dollars to that lucky gentleman if he can repeat this sentence after me exactly as I say it. Listen carefully. I can only say it once. Said Flora to Florence, don't flatter my father. My flippant father finds flattery foolish. Said Florence to Flora, your father flatters you. Your froth and feather. Deep. Bloom. Blam. Blue. Listen carefully. I can only say it once. Your flippant footer. Your flippant foot. Your fire's blue. Give that gentleman a box of tortoise gum and a flea.
I have a gentleman, doctor.
45 silver dollars to that gentleman if he can tell me. If he can tell me what is the chemical composition of water.
Well, water is an oxide of hydrogen being a mixture of several types of molecules, H2O3 and especially H2O2 predominating. So if you prepare pure hydrogen and burn it in air, it'll form the compound known as water.
Why have you been withholding this information from the mayor of New York?
But everybody knows that.
Except the mayor. Well, give that man... Give that man 45 silver dollars and two clouds. Mr. Jordan.
I am a gentleman, doctor.
25 silver dollars to that gentleman if he can tell me how you detect a counterfeit bill.
Well, the border design of a genuine bill includes an intricate lace-like network of fine white lines. The patterns for these lines are produced by a machine known as a geometric lathe. In a genuine bill, these lines are clear. But in a counterfeit bill, the border is too dark because of inferior etching.
Let me ask you another question. How many other guys are in this with you?
I refuse to answer that on the grounds it might incriminate me.
Very well. Give that man a pound of silver. Let him make his own $25. Next contestant, please.
I have a young man, doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have no more silver dollars to offer.
Oh, come on, Doc. I'll take anything. Old clothes, bunch of bulbs, nifty magazines, anything.
Well, I have a right-wrong category. I give you a statement and you tell me whether it's right or wrong. Ready?
Right.
Wrong. Next question. The name of the man who invented the airplane was not Wright.
Wrong.
Wrong. It was Wright.
But stop.
Right or wrong? The past tense of ring is rung.
Wrong.
No, it's rang. You're wrong.
It's a swindle.
Right or wrong? The opposite of right is wrong.
Right.
Wrong. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Right?
Right.
Wrong.
But you're wrong. It's right.
That's right. You're wrong.
But what is the opposite of right if not wrong? Not right?
I said the opposite of right is wrong, and you said right, but that's wrong. It's not right because wrong is right when I say right or wrong, and it can't be right if it's wrong, right?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I think if you look that up, you'll find we're both wrong. But a box of powder gum to that gentleman, and good night.
Thank you. All right, right here, the metal box. Every morning we'll be back at the same corner, brother, the cigar store next week at the same time. Goodbye.
The Henry Morgan Show was heard in Canada as an international exchange feature and came to you through the facilities of NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. This is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.